Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 137 of Beyond the Supernatural. This page is still theoretically in the character creation section, although we are on a pages-long digression about damage and healing damage and surviving comas and God knows what else. We don't need to talk about it, because all of this material has appeared on the podcast before in previous seasons, and you know what that means. It's time to delve once again into the Z-Files, that archive of murderous madmen, government conspiracies, and shadowy killers pulled from the pages of Palladium's Villains Unlimited, the supplement for Heroes Unlimited. Today, we're discussing case number 75, Jefferson Radko, aka Bellicose. We need to lay some groundwork to contextualize Radko before we proceed. Villains Unlimited describes an organization called Fabricators Incorporated. This is a powerful, sprawling organization that offers all manner of services and high-tech goods to supervillains, and for that reason, it is mostly beyond our remit in the Z-Files. But within the description of Fabricators Incorporated, a number of individuals are described. Radko is one of them, and I think that he individually has some bearing on what we're discussing here in Beyond the Supernatural, partly because he is the personal bodyguard of another character detailed in this section, the suspiciously named Damon Lazarus, who was somehow hired on as second in command of Fabricators Incorporated, even though in a comic book universe, the name Damon should be disqualifying for any position of responsibility. Damon is what he is, and just what you would expect, incidentally, and perhaps it could not have been otherwise. What is tragic about the story of Jefferson Radko is that it could have been otherwise, as we will see. Quote, Jefferson Radko is another product of military experimentation to produce the perfect fighting man. The experiment was rumored to be so dangerous and prone to produce such horrendous deformities that they couldn't get any volunteers. The government sanctioned the military to offer freedom to death row prisoners in exchange for their service to their country. Radko was one of four condemned prisoners to volunteer. Already the true villain of the Z-Files rears its ugly head. I mean, of course, organizational short-sightedness. A program to produce the perfect killing machine, you say? Who could we possibly find for such a thing? Volunteers? Impossible. The procedure may produce horrible deformities, and we are bound by our medical ethics to provide this information to any prospective volunteer. Medical ethics simply demand that we imbue the powers of a perfect killing machine in a death row convict. Yes, I think that a man convicted of the most heinous violent crimes, who willingly submits to potentially fatal or deforming treatment explicitly to gain powers to kill more and better, would be the ideal subject. And lest you think that Radko is some kind of low-risk death row inmate, consult his profile. Quote, Radko is a psychotic mad dog killer who enjoys murder and dismemberment. He was convicted on 10 counts of murder and mutilation and suspected of 5 others. He was the only human subject to survive the experiment, which was declared far too dangerous and brought to a halt. Besides, they had other prospects for creating super soldiers that looked promising and were safer. It may seem like nitpicking to raise this point in the context of an experiment to provide killing powers to a dangerous psychotic individual who has killed and dismembered almost as many times as Ric Flair has been world champion. But also this project should perhaps not have been funded on grounds of redundancy. I can appreciate diversification. I can appreciate hedging one's bets. But when the stakes are this high, this is not like spreading one's chips around a bit. This is, upon this one spin of the roulette wheel, I will wager the life of an innocent child on red. And also the life of another innocent child, specifically on 36. Just for funsies. That is not funsies. That is recklessness. And in this instance, the government was reckless. In fact, it's hard to say whether it would have been a worse outcome for Radko to die as part of the procedure, as was likely from the start, or for him to survive and gain superpowers, as eventually transpired. Quote, despite the promise of freedom, Radko's psychological profile indicated that he was a homicidal maniac. His superpowers only made him more dangerous. Thus, they decided to send him back to prison to be executed. However, Radko, fearing the worst, escaped and killed 3 military police with his bare hands. 2 were dismembered. Again, a sad tale of super soldier program mismanagement. Why imbue a known killer, and a dismemberment aficionado with deadly superpowers? Not just superpowers that happen to be deadly, but by design, deadly superpowers. Then, upon discovering that your ill-advised experiment worked, go to the project manager saying, upon reflection, this killer whom we've given killer powers might kill someone. Let's kill him. Truly a pointless exercise. Offensive not only to my sensibilities as a human being, but also as a taxpayer. This is just wasteful. It's like baking a whole potato and then deciding, fuck this potato, I'm throwing it in the garbage. Unacceptable behavior. Human life, like a potato, has intrinsic worth, and that is to be respected. In any case, the escaped Radko found yet more poor decision makers to take him under their wing at Fabricators Incorporated, where he, quote, eventually became the personal bodyguard and assistant to Damon Lazarus. It is difficult to overstate what a bad decision this is on the part of literally everyone. Firstly, Fabricators Incorporated HR. What the fuck? No matter how unscrupulous the organization, it cannot have any profitable role for an indiscriminate compulsive killer. It would be like saving money staffing your mailroom by hiring not a person, but a grease fire. But even putting aside the questionable decision to hire Bellicose at all, assigning this psychotic killer as a bodyguard to the company's ambitious second-in-command cannot possibly go well. First of all, there is a conflict of interests in hiring a compulsive dismemberer as a bodyguard. And secondly, assigning a compulsive dismemberer and murderer to an ambitious sociopath as a personal assistant will inevitably result in the murder of a major executive officer at your company, but which executive officer is totally uncertain. This is precisely the sort of thing stockholders hate. Finally, this is a terrible idea for Damon Lazarus himself. Despite the fact that Lazarus seems to be able to exercise quite a bit of control over Bellicose with Lazarus's secret psychic powers. Quote, Bellicose suspects that Lazarus is somehow manipulating him, but doesn't know how. In fact, his years of service under Lazarus has made him so susceptible to his powers of hypnotic suggestion that the lumbering oaf is -3 to save versus Lazarus's hypnotic attacks. Now, while this may initially seem like a clever play on Lazarus's part, consider that Lazarus's psychic ability is useful insofar as it allows him to command others to kill. This ability is distinctly less useful in relation to someone who is always actively killing anyway. In this scenario, Lazarus's role in the relationship is to stop Bellicose from killing, which is an inefficient way to run an assassin. Nobody's got time for that. Certainly not a busy executive. But here we are. Lazarus's personal assistant is Jefferson Radko, whom Lazarus has to continually and affirmatively command not to kill people to prevent the Fabricators Inc. offices from being festooned at all times with severed limbs. As for what Radko brings to the organization, he is, it goes without saying, diabolic. He is, quote, mean, foul, disgusting, arrogant, overconfident, and suffers from delusions of grandeur. And he possesses fairly straightforward powers due to his super soldier treatment. He is exceptionally strong, agile, and tough, and has a preternatural healing factor that makes him very difficult to kill, which is admittedly a positive trait in a hired killer, assuming that he does not want to kill you, which, in this instance, he does, regardless of who you are. He wants to kill everyone. And so the fact that he is unstoppable is kind of a neutral element of his resume. There's not a ton more to say about Jefferson Radko. He's the only character from the Fabricators Inc. section of Villains Unlimited that we'll be discussing, and I chose him for a few reasons. Number one, he has fairly low-key powers. He works with another supervillain called Voltaic, who has an even more outlandish outfit and has much more superhero-y powers. Radko's powers could easily be written off as something similar to physical psychic's powers, or even the enhanced physical traits of the natural PCC. In the context of a Beyond the Supernatural campaign, the rationalization would be that the treatment stimulated Radko's PPE and unlocked a sort of mind-over-matter healing factor and unlocked his physical potential. It even fits our theory in Beyond the Supernatural that every PCC's powers come from their deep nature. Bellicose just loves to kill, and he specifically loves to dismember. His deepest psychological craving is to be strong enough to pull the arms off a guy, and that explains why he's the sole survivor of the experiment. It was meant to create a killer, it functioned, perhaps unknown to researchers, by unlocking psychic potential, and only in the case of Bellicose was the subject's deep passion for dismemberment enough to fuel the psychic transformation of the body. So Bellicose's powers would make him impressive in combat, but they are not too outlandish for Beyond the Supernatural. More importantly, though, Radko is tied to setting elements that would work well in Beyond the Supernatural, but that are tied up with other NPCs who are not such a good fit. As I mentioned, Voltaic is not really a good fit for Beyond the Supernatural. Many of the devices that Fabricators Inc. sells would be inappropriately sci-fi for a Beyond the Supernatural campaign, but a secretive organization like Fabricators Inc. could definitely work in Beyond the Supernatural. He's also the product of a secret government experiment. That's another box on the bingo card. He's a very significant physical threat who is in the thrall of a psionic behind the scenes. Again, very workable in a Beyond the Supernatural context. And his tone is very dark. There isn't anything very comic booky about Bellicose except his codename and his costume. The idea of someone whose hidden physical potential has been unlocked through psychic experimentation, but who is a psychotic killer and loves to torment and torture others, is frightening. That is a horror antagonist. So the tone of the Radko character is actually a better fit for Beyond the Supernatural than for Heroes Unlimited. All in all, he's a recommend from me. The rest of Fabricators Inc. I would definitely leave to Heroes Unlimited, but one could create a similar organization built around the idea of Bellicose as a physical threat under the command of Damon Lazarus, and I think that would work very nicely with BTS. Speaking of Beyond the Supernatural, join me next time as we take a look at supposedly common elements of psychic character classes on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top secret Patreon-only RSS feed. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. The theme for the Z-Files is Lightless Dawn by Kevin MacLeod. Kevin MacLeod's music, used under a Creative Commons license, can be found at incompetech.filmmusic.io. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.